stool. Kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son.
Talking about the state of Jefferson.
It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of bells. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
In your soul.
It does. In your soul. Settles right in there. Isn't that right, Wynn?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Susie Q, how you doing, darling?
I'm doing great. Good morning. Good morning. We were just chatting.
we were just having a good old time.
We were burning.
Talking about the state of Jefferson.
That's right.
We were burning some airtime.
But we're here now. You're here now. We're here now.
Ain't it great?
It is.
We are broadcasting live.
Yep.
From KCNR 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, and 1460 AM.
Where it doesn't.
Sound as good. Here with my partner, Wynn Carpenter, and of course, Susie Q, and we are here to...
And Frankie.
Frankie's out there, Frank Rose.
Sergeant at Arms.
Yes, sir.
Great patriot.
Great patriot.
And, thank you, Frank Rose.
Frank Rose does more for this community than just about anybody. If there's a veterans event or a veterans cause, Frankie's there. And it's good because when he has his camera with him...
Watch out.
Yeah. If he's taking your picture, if you're drinking coffee, he photographs every sip.
And when you spill it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, he's got you.
Anyway, here we are. So we have a special program today. We're going to be on for quite some time. A lot of things going on here in the state of Jefferson. We want you all to call in whenever you want. Area code 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. This week, we will not be having a Patriot meeting. There will not be a Patriot meeting at 2570 Bonneview Road, which is the church that shall remain nameless even at this point. In fact, I think the church that remains nameless isn't even...
Meeting.
They're not meeting.
Yeah. Well, most churches
are not.
Yeah, they're doing some kind of a tech thing if they are at all.
I heard yesterday on Freedom in Action, I heard that California has, from the coronavirus, 24 deaths. Those are tragic. But in perspective, I wonder how many gangbangers shot each other in Chicago yesterday. When you stop and think about the type of, panic, concern, which there should be concern. Don't get me wrong. I'm not making light of the coronavirus. But really and truly, when you have a situation to where there's 24 deaths in a couple of months, I mean, you know, more people die from the flu. I'm just saying, we are going to go through this program. We're going to talk about our rights. We're going to be talking about the government and what we believe. We want to hear your feedback on all this stuff. I was with a group of people last night, a great group of people, and we talked about liberty and we talked about our rights. We talked about the government. We talked about the overreach of government. We'll talk about that. And before I bring Nick on here, I want to ask a question out there. And maybe somebody can answer this. You can get on the chat room and answer it or call in and answer it. But here's the question I have. Does anybody know why all of a sudden we have a yellow border around some of our traffic lights? Why is there a yellow border and what's the purpose of that? Not all of them have some. They're sort of strategically placed. Just curious. Nick, what say you, sir?
Well, I wanted to answer your first question about how many gangbangers were killed in Chicago yesterday. And the answer is not enough.
Okay.
And I read a deal about the yellow borders. There was a rumor going around that signified that there was a camera at the intersection. And the reply I read said that wasn't true. It just more or less brought your attention to the light.
Why didn't they do it for all of them then?
Well, because you don't replace them all at once. That's just what I read. It could be just propaganda, and there's a specific reason. Maybe it signifies something else. I don't know.
I've got it right here.
All right, Sue's got it. Go ahead, Sue.
Okay, Caltrans traffic engineer Rob Stinger proposed a solution, the yellow pedestrian border. It's a new signal which pedestrians can trigger by pushing the walk button as they are waiting to cross. It frames the standard walk signal in the border of a yellow LED lights. The border is supposed to draw the driver's attention to the walk signal, serving as a reminder that there might be someone in the crossing. The signal is being piloted in Northern California. Early tests conducted at 5 intersections in Redding, a city of 90,000 north of Sacramento. It showed promise before and after analysis suggests the yellow pedestrian border helps to decrease car-walker conflicts by about 17%, though results vary.
Okay, see, we're going to let her get the phone here.
She just confirmed it.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, you know, to me, I'm a little bit concerned about that. I mean, for one thing, I think it's more than 5 traffic areas. By the way, if somebody just did try to call in.
Call back.
Here, there you go. So anyway, Nick, that sort of answers that, I guess, would agree.
Why I called, though. We have a unique opportunity right now, and this is every county in Jefferson, actually every county in the state probably. The supervisors' meetings are going to be, you're not going to be able to go to them, but you can watch them live. And they are taking written comments. So if you wanted to comment during public comment, and you've always been afraid to go up there because you're gun-shy speaking in front of a crowd or something, if you go to your supervisor's website and fish around, you'll find where you can put a comment in there. And at public comment, you can address anything you want. Locally, we've got issues I brought to the attention of us being lied to by certain people and misled on the measure. But also, we could complain about how disappointed we are that the supervisors didn't put in an interim sheriff and let us vote and elect our sheriff, for one thing. We could express our concern, our disappointment, that they have let salaries run away by giving the new guy a $20,000 raise before he even came into office, and that bumped up other salaries. There's a multitude of things that people have that they don't have the opportunity to go to the meetings because they're during the day, or they're just shy speaking in front of a crowd, and this is a good opportunity to contact your to be able to speak at a supervisor's meeting, because you'll write it down and probably the clerk of the supervisors will read it. So I just wanted to bring that to everybody.
Do you think that they'll be selective in what they read?
Well, I don't know. I have a suspicion by law they can't. I would suspect that's right. And if I wrote in something and it didn't get read, I would search around and find out why not. You know, we need to start questioning them. They'll tell us anything, and if we don't question them, start looking and investigating what they say. I've caught them in numerous things that were either an outright lie or misleading, and if you just shrug your shoulders and accept their word for it, they just start getting away with more, and we need to start getting involved, voicing our opinion, and investigating.
Okay, Nick, quick question. For Shasta County, where do we go once we're online? Where do we go to find out how to get into this
online
meeting?
Okay, what you will do is Google Shasta County Supervisors, and they'll pop up, and there'll be a catalog of things on the site, and you'll click on meetings and agendas. And then there'll be another pop-up, and it'll list the meetings. And there's a meeting the 24th, this coming Tuesday. And you click on the agenda, and it tells you what's going to be in the meeting, and you can comment on each one of those, and they've got a public comment before the meeting even gets started to where you can talk about anything. And it says to email the city clerk, clerk of the board is what it is, at co.shasta.ca.us. And then there's a phone number, too, and I don't have it at the tip of my tongue. But it's not hard to find out how you can go about doing this, and I suspect that's the case in every county because they have to make that available to you. So
perfect.
If I was in Tuolumne County, I would Google Tuolumne County Supervisors, And, you know, you just fish around until you get where you want to go. And if you can't find it, call up the supervisor. Somebody answers the phone and say, hey, how do I get here? How can I electronically send you a comment for public comment? And they'll tell you.
Yeah, this might be duplicatable in other counties, too. Maybe. Yeah.
Absolutely is.
Okay, so in other words, all the counties probably will be doing it this way so we can make sure that we have a duplicatable process here and making sure that people will call into those meetings. Okay, Nick, we have somebody else on the line.
Okay, but this is a prime time to let your supervisors know you're dissatisfied about them or something they're doing. So
now we're going to be on for 3 hours, so call us back. Feel free to call us back. You can double dip on this program.
Thank you.
You bet, my brother.
But no triple dips.
No triple dips. Double dip.
Okay.
Okay, before we go on, thanks. Thank you very much, Nick.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Now, before we go on to the next caller, we need to thank our hosts from last week. We had four stellar hosts last week because Terry and I were off down in Tehama County at an event down there, which was an outstanding event. So we want to thank, you know, Matt and Shaylin and Sean and Jimmy. We want to thank all the boys for taking the helm and riding it through for us. They did an outstanding job. So hat tip to those four guys.
Yeah, and we want to thank them for volunteering.
Yeah.
Isn't that right, Sean? Right? You
That's
volunteered, right,
yeah.
Right, buddy?
We had a great time.
You did.
You got voluntold. Is that what happened?
You got voluntold?
Yeah, voluntold. No, it was a lot of fun. I appreciate you guys letting us do that.
No, well, we want you to do it again. You guys were amazing.
You guys are rock stars.
And what a great group of guys. You guys all complimented each other amazingly.
And you guys don't have faces for radio like Terry and I do.
Yeah.
You could actually be on TV.
Yeah, Wynn and I were talking.
No, I don't think so.
Wynn and I were talking about that. When we both got married, we weighed half of what we do now.
Yep, pretty much.
Well, I can almost say the same thing as well. I've been married 22 years now.
Oh, cool.
What's on your mind, brother?
But I called because, as it happens, I am a traffic tech for the city of Reading.
What?
Oh.
Well, you have some
so you can, and I actually think on Monday, on Carl Bott's show 7:30, they're going to have a traffic tech on from Reading, so people can ask questions. But just so people can have a better understanding of how and why our signals work the way that they do, because I know there is quite a bit of frustration with them.
Do they work?
The
so
yellow
they
reflective
can take
tape. The city of Reading currently actually doesn't have any. Those are Caltrans.
Oh.
We have 100 signals that we're responsible for, and the city of Reading is only responsible for the ones that are not on an interstate freeway or highway or an on or off ramp to an interstate freeway or highway.
Okay.
You know, I have a question about that, Sean. How are they calibrated? Calibration is how they work, but how are they calibrated? Actually, who has the responsibility of that? Because I had talked to a former police chief about that, about the calibration on the on some of the red light cameras that you see, especially the one outside of where Blackberry is and all that on Hilltop and Cypress, that camera goes off. You can be sitting there and it'll go off 5 or 6 times. I mean, who does the calibrating for that? Do you know?
So that is an outside company. We are not responsible for red light enforcement at all.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing we do is we give them a signal when the light turns red. That's it.
Okay.
And that's what triggers the camera.
Well, and Terry's
and
right.
And it's not taking a picture in every direction. It's only taking pictures in certain directions.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so why would they do that, though?
It's that way because those are the directions where accidents have happened.
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
So they're taking
and
a picture to see if something
to
is.
Keep people safer. They only do the ones that are the high risk.
Okay.
The phases, as we call them.
Okay. Yeah, because when you're sitting at Lumberjack's, which is right on the corner at the light, you can be sitting there, you know, and all of a sudden light's going off, and it's like
nobody's in the intersection.
It's like
that's
crickets.
A really bad one.
It's like hello.
Yeah, and you know, to be honest, so there's algorithms in place, and I believe that the city RPD gets to set like the level of what's ticketed, and it only really tickets about 40%. That ends up getting sent to RPD, and I believe it's cadets that actually look through them to see if there is a ticketable offense there.
Well, I do know a couple of guys that were retired, unless they changed it, that were retired police officers. One used to be my neighbor, as a matter of fact, and they were retired, these two guys, and they were the ones who were responsible for this. And that's a fact. I'm not sure if they are. I don't think it's cadets. I think that they're retired police officers were making money part time. But I'd like to know because the money is, because
we've had to get some stuff from those, and it was usually cadets we dealt with when they needed some information because somebody was fighting a ticket or whatever, and then they want our maintenance logs and all that.
Well, that
and
could be the
usually we turn it over to cadets. So that's why I said cadets because that's
and it could be. But I do know that they both those guys were making in excess of $30 an hour at the time, and this was 10 years ago when they first started.
Yeah,
these two guys were making like $36 an hour.
And actually, when they first put it in, it was ticketing a lot more. And I'm not saying it doesn't ticket a lot now. It still does. But I can tell you that, you know, like if you go down to Cypress and Hilltop, when I'm doing a PM, which is preventative maintenance on that signal, I'll watch five or six people run that red light right in a row, and it might only ticket the last one or two.
Wow. Okay, brother, well, we've got...
They're really pretty loose.
And Troy has a traffic question.
Yeah, Troy has a traffic question.
Can I put him on?
Yes, put him on.
Hold on, Tom.
Okay, I'm going to do a conference call for you. There we go. Troy, you're on.
Good morning, Troy.
Hello?
Hello, Troy. Can you hear us?
I'm right here. Yeah, I also have some questions about the camera lights. Where does all that money go to, and why does it go to them?
Well,
that's it. Go ahead.
Do you know where the money goes to, Sean? I have heard, because I did ask one of those two police officers about that, but have you heard anything about where the money goes to?
No. So like I said, as traffic techs for the city of Reading, we don't manage or are not responsible for red light enforcement at all.
Okay. Well, what I heard was that part of the money goes to the company, and it used to be in Phoenix, Arizona. The main company, and part of it goes to them, and a portion goes to the city. That's what I've heard. I don't know how accurate that is, if somebody wants to call in or get on the chat room, but that's what I did hear, if that answers part of your question, Troy.
Well, maybe. Let's see. If it's going to the city, what do they do with the money? If they're making money off that, why don't they donate to some sort of charitable organization? If they don't, then that means it's for profit. Why is it for profit?
Well, here's the deal. The deal is that does anybody really know what the city uses the money for? I mean, we've talked about the salaries, the ridiculous salaries for the city of Reading. They're just ridiculous. We've talked about that. We've talked about that it's the average salary, and I know there's some are higher at the top than down below, but the average salary with benefits is $122,000. When the average working full-time employee in the private sector is $39,000. So it's like, you know, and most of the time those people pay part of their benefits, meaning the private sector. The public sector is paid for by us, so that $122,000 is our expenditure. If you're working for somebody, you may be paying part of your medical. You may be paying all of your medical. Who knows? So the deal is, it's like a 4-to-1 ratio, which is insane. So, Troy, my friend, I don't have any idea where all that money goes. I know that a lot of, who knows what happens to the budget? It seems to be, that money seems to be an endless pit of giving people ridiculously high salaries. But with that, we got to go to a break, guys.
Okay.
So thank you both.
Maybe
for calling.
Maybe someone could look into that. I just wonder why it's for profit. I don't care if they're making a nickel off it. If it's for profit, they need to donate that to a charity. Anyway, hopefully someone can check into that. Anyway, thank you very much, Terry. I'll talk to you later.
All right, brother.
Thank you. Thank you, Sean.
Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Sean. All right.
Time has come.
4:51.
Let's get her done.
Up in the hills of Northern California, we believe America is the home of the brave. What we got is earned by working it and handed out for free. We stand for the flag and pledge our allegiance for the last of a dying breed. Last of a dying breed.
Make no payment for up to 120 days. That's 4 months on all new 2020 Kia Sportages, Sorentos, Fortes, Souls, and Optimas. No first payment for 120 days on approval of credit. Ends March 31st, 2020. Reading Kia. ReadingKia.com.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell. With decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant. Or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
The California Teachers Association is looking to add, quote, transgender and binary youth to the students who can leave class without notifying their parents for, quote, medical reasons. This means students can pursue gender transition without their parents knowing about it.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
Hi, this is Linda Bodd. Join me May 15th, 2020 at 12 o'clock p.m. in the Redding Rodeo Grounds in Redding, California. Chicks and Chaps will be conducting their annual fundraiser to benefit local individuals impacted by breast cancer. The event will be emceed by yours truly with guest speaker Lynn Fritz, licensed marriage and family therapist. Limited to 100 tickets, which are available through Facebook at Chicks and Chaps Redding or through ReddingRodeo.com. Think pink and see you there.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Make no payment for up to 120 days. That's 4 months on all new 2020 Kia Sportages, Sorentos, Fortes, Souls, and Optimas. No first payment for 120 days on approval of credit. Ends March 31st, 2020. Redding Kia. ReddingKia.com.
On a warm summer's eve, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness. The boredom overtook us, and he began to speak. He said, son, I've made a life out of reading people's faces and knowing what the cards were by the way they held their eyes. So if you don't mind my saying, I can see you're out of aces. For a taste of your whiskey, I'll give you some advice. So I hand
Kenny Rogers. Wynn, you have a story of Kenny Rogers here.
No, I don't. Other than, you know, he passed away yesterday. Too bad. But, you know, he was 81 years old.
He was?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he was 81.
I didn't realize he was that old.
Yep. He was almost as old as you. Love you, Terry.
Is there a... Sue, you want to come in and co-host in here?
Well, if the offer still stands by the end of the show, yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, come on in, Sue. You're welcome anytime. We're going to be more wicked. The longer we're on lockdown, the worse it's going to get.
Really. The longer we're on lockdown. Talking about being on lockdown, Mark Baird, how you doing, Kemosabe?
Good morning, Mark.
Are you there, Mark?
He didn't want to talk to us. Yep. Hey, are you there, Mark?
There he is. There
I'm here.
All right.
Yeah, I just heard you click on. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we were having some technical difficulties here.
Yeah.
It's all Terry's fault.
Yeah.
Poor Sue's working so hard in there, it's Terry's fault.
Just ignore him. No one likes him.
Yeah.
He's talking about Terry.
Anyway, Mark, we had an interesting conversation yesterday, and I wanted you to tell the folks about it. You were talking about the position of, say, if someone like yourself or somebody like Woody Clendenin, who's a real great patriot, you both, I think, could make wonderful sheriffs in your counties, but you can't run. Can you explain to the people what's going on with the state of California in that regard?
Well, California government code determines the minimum qualification to run for sheriff, and that's a post, which is peace officer standard training. That's the police academies that are throughout California. And most law enforcement personnel attend some type of post academy, and there's sort of a national standard for that, even though every state's laws are a little bit different, and their penal codes are differently numbered, and their radio codes might be a little bit different, but there's a basic standard for cops across the nation, and that's taught to them in their respective police academies. In California, it's called Peace Officer Standard Training. It may be called that somewhere else. I don't know. But the California government code states that in order to run for sheriff in California, you have to have a post, POST, advanced certificate, which is equivalent to X number of years. I believe it was between 4 and 9 years of continuous full-time paid employment as a law enforcement officer and certain educational requirements that are within the post website, and you can take those things online, but you have to have also a certain number of those classes or so many units of administration of justice credits in an accredited college. So basically what they've done is they guaranteed that no ordinary citizen can run for sheriff in California.
Wow.
That it is basically going to be someone from within a department and that is already indoctrinated into the political processes of law enforcement or whatever you want to call it, and they're the only ones that can run for a sheriff's job.
Now, the interesting thing about that is there was a law passed in 2018 that said that if, in fact, a sheriff retires early, then the Board of Supervisors can select a candidate from wherever they want. Apparently, it would have to be a police officer or a sheriff to be sheriff, and they interview people. I think that Shasta County, when they appointed Sheriff Magrini, who was the heir apparent successor to Tom Basinko, who left early.
You talking about Idaho Tom?
Well, I don't know if he's Idaho Tom yet, but anyway, what happened is they apparently had several candidates, according to what I heard from one of the supervisors, and two of the supervisors, actually, and they selected Magrini, saying he was the best choice, and he was also Tom's choice, Tom Basinko's choice. So I guess what we're saying here, and I just want you to give me clarification on this, what you're saying is that you have to have probably 4 to 9 years of full-time employment in law enforcement. You have to have one of those PIDs or whatever they are.
Post-advanced certificate. It's called, and there are levels.
PAC. You have a PAC.
Post-advanced, post-managerial, post-executive. There's
gotcha.
All kinds of levels.
Okay, so you have to have something there. And basically, that normally would, if the sheriffs go on this trend of retiring early, what would happen is they would go ahead and basically appoint their successor, probably get the blessing of the Board of Supervisors, which means we may not have an election for sheriffs again if these guys all decide to retire early a year or so because of this new law in 2018. What say you?
Well, it's good to be king. That's what I say. I think it's a fantastic idea to revert to a feudal system where an elected official can turn around and name his successor and then get some other board of elected officials to confirm that successor, and then the will of the people is totally ignored. I mean, look at California today. Gavin Newsom has declared the state to be basically on lockdown. All non-essential businesses are closed. Now, there are certain essential businesses that are commanded to remain open. Our business, for example, we have radio station, and you know, our business is commanded to remain open because it's a media outlet, but all of the people that pay to advertise, and, you know, in other words, our electric bill's around $10,000 a month to run a radio station, but all of our advertisers are closed and they pull their advertising. So where are we supposed to get the money to pay the light bill to remain open at the governor's command? What about cities like Fresno that passed an ordinance that say gun stores are non-essential businesses and they're to be closed, and the mayor has the power to ban sales of guns and ammunition? What about San Jose? Basically the same thing. What about Los Angeles? Basically the same thing. They've demanded that gun stores close. In fact, there was one guy that had a gun store in San Jose. He stayed open and he defied the order, and the cops went down there and, you know, here's the words of the police chief of San Jose. Well, I mean, we're going to start out friendly. So here you have your jackbooted thugs that show up, and you know that first visit from the mafia when they demand the protection money or whatever. First visit's friendly. Hey, you know, buddy, you don't do what we say, and I don't know what's going to happen to that front window of yours, that plate glass window. You know, you do what we say, and everybody's cool. That window looks good the way it is. But if you don't do what we say, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen to you. I just can't say for sure. So what? Where do we live again? China? Is that
it's
Nazi Germany?
Might be worse than that. You know, you were talking about the gun shops, and we do have Richard on the other line. I'm going to bring him on. Richard, why don't we put Richard on right now, because he's probably going to want to talk with Mark. Anyway, we have a situation where some of the gun shops have been told they can't do transfers, and they can't do registration, and they can't sell guns. I'd like to get some clarification on that.
And that's because the sheriff isn't going to be registering the guns.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that special? Yep. Isn't that special?
What say you, Richard?
Well, here's what we proposed in the state of Jefferson. If you had a concealed carry or whatever and it transfers over to Jefferson, it's automatically good for 2 more years. Why instead doesn't the sheriff just say, oh, you know, we'll just automatically extend everybody's permit for a year? This is all over and we have time to catch up.
Yeah, but what about the new registrations?
Well, the NICS check, the FBI is, the way the FBI regulations are written and ATF regulations are written, if you don't get that NICS check done in 3 days, the guy gets his gun, 3 business days. But now what they've said is, well, we can defer those indefinitely, just like the federal court has deferred due process indefinitely, because they don't want to go to court and do their job.
Okay.
So there's a lot of liberty here being sacrificed and deferred indefinitely because people say, well, you know, the virus. But I have to say, that's not only weak, unlawful and it's unconstitutional.
Well, one quick thing on the virus, okay, and that is that we know as of day before yesterday, there were 24 deaths in total in the state of California. And I'm not, you know, saying those aren't, of course, it's, you know, it's a tragedy, but 24.
Out of 40 million?
Well, not only that, there was probably more than that shot, probably 24 gangbangers shot each other in Chicago yesterday. I mean, you know, the numbers don't add up to everything that's going on. And we do have Richard on the other line. Richard, what say you, sir?
Hi, guys and gals. I have several points which are absolutely critical at this stage regarding these shelter in places and et cetera. And it's going to take some time, but we have to talk about this stuff. I know you've already mentioned you're going to start talking about it. So I don't know where to start. I have a bunch of things to go over, but And I don't want to get ahead of you guys, but this stuff is just absolutely critical.
Richard, we're just going to need you to speak up a little bit, okay?
Yeah. You're hard to hear.
I can hear you, buddy.
Yeah, and we really need you to speak up. Thank you.
Oh. How about now?
That's better.
Better?
Take us off speaker. If we're on speaker, take us off speaker, because that always seems to be the effect.
All right. Is that better?
There you go.
Oh, darn speaker. So I have several critical issues to discuss regarding these shelter-in-places that are occurring. And this stuff needs to be discussed today. There is so much stuff happening, and I have a lot of sources like I always do when I discuss issues. The first issue,
Richard?
Have you guys too much? Yes.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. Because, see, we only have an hour on this show, but we're staying over through Sovereign Minds. Can you call back about a little bit after 10 o'clock and then
we can go through the whole thing?
Absolutely. Thank you. I'll call back.
But if you have something that...
If you have one of them that, are, that,
that ties
quick
in
easy.
Real quick, yeah, let yeah. us know right now. If you have one that ties in real quick that is pertinent to where we are in the counties.
Yeah, they all tie in.
Well, okay. Well,
all five of my points tie into the shelter in place, liberties being trampled, et cetera, et cetera. So,
okay, you're awesome. All right, brother.
I'll call after 10. Thanks.
Perfect. Thank you, Richard.
Hey, well, Mark, you know, when you were talking about the post-advanced certificate, my son is currently going through the police academy down in Butte College in Oroville. There are 12 academies throughout the state of California. They were the last one on Friday to vacate their campus. And so now he was supposed to go until June. So now he's, halfway through, a little more than halfway through, and now they have to wait. And they have to wait to find out what's going to be going on. So why are they not allowing law enforcement training to continue to help out throughout the state? And the only place that... Because they have the fire academy in the same location. They have the fish and game in the same location. They have the EMT certification program in the same location. And then they have the law enforcement in this, all on the same campus. They each have their own rooms that they use. They don't interact and they don't mingle. They use their own rooms and they stay in those rooms. And they use those exclusively for their specific training. And they don't even when they do their PT. Their PTs are off schedule so that they're not doing their PTs at the same time. All of that stuff is in sync. But why are they not allowing them to continue for the fear of coronavirus being spread through everybody? They're all together anyway. They have been since December. Mm-hmm. And so I don't understand that. And the only law enforcement agency mm-hmm. that's allowed to continue is CHP, because they have their academy and they're basically in lockdown anyway because they have their dorms and everything, so they are totally isolated and self-contained. But they are under the beck and call of the governor. So,
well, let me explain something about that to you. And
Mark, we have about a minute and a half before we've got to take
a
break.
I'll wait then. This is going to take more than a minute and a half.
Okay, can we take an early break here? And then, we're going to take an early break, folks, so we can hear Mark's response to that. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
Hi, I'm Dan Flynn. I'm the presiding judge of the Shasta County Superior Court. The Superior Court is now accepting applications from those people who wish to serve on the grand jury. To apply and to get additional information, please go to ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
That's right. Now is your chance to apply. The Shasta County Grand Jury investigates to help ensure transparency and accountability among local governments, officials, and agencies. Visit our website for more information.
Please apply now.
Almost hung himself in the dark.
What it is, they've got the headphones have a wire.
And it got wrapped around the microphone.
The wire gets tangled around the microphone.
And then you try to put it on before you take it off the mic. And
yeah.
And then the arm on it goes popping up.
Yeah.
Yeah, Terry almost launched himself.
So you end up with a microphone in your nostrils. Just trying to eat my cashews.
Anyway, we're back at it. Mark, do you have a response to what Terry was talking about?
Yes, I do.
All right.
The reason that we're allowing this to happen is because we have become a state and a nation of sissies and cowards. My father was in World War II. He was on Saipan and Tinian with the B-29s. My grandfather was in World War I. He was in the forest in the Ardennes in France. He was mustard gas. I'm paraphrasing from a statement that I read recently. Regarding a guy who was in the store and he was in his 80s and somebody stopped him and, you know, was trying to be superficially nice. Oh, hey, is there anything I can help you reach? You know, and the guy's kind of answering him and saying, no, you know, he says, I was in World War II back when this nation had courage and when mothers and fathers sent their sons to war and in some cases never even heard from them again. Everything was censored. There was no internet. There were no cell phones. You couldn't go across the country by airplane in those days unless you stopped a couple of times on the way. And oftentimes, once your soldier went off to war, you wouldn't hear from him maybe for a year. In fact, the guy made the statement that oftentimes your first letter from your loved one would arrive the same day as the telegram telling you he'd been killed in action. People walked to school. Everything was rationed. Everything was rationed. I mean, toilet paper, gasoline, the things you bought in the store. People cooperated happily. They helped one another. They grew gardens. On your way to school, you'd pass two or three houses that were quarantined because in those days, people died from polio every summer. I remember my mother's best friend was in an iron lung all of the days that I knew her as a child because she'd gotten polio one summer and couldn't breathe on her own, and her husband wheeled that iron lung around and carried it around in the back of the station wagon so she could go to places. I never heard her complain. I never heard him complain. People died from measles every summer, every winter. People died from the flu, 60 million people died from the flu in 1919. I mean, and yet people pulled together, they worked together, they stayed strong, they had heart, they had courage to preserve their liberty from those who would take it all over the world. And now we suck up to the communist Chinese, the ones who started this virus, lied about it, covered it up, are threatening us with lack of supply chain for medical supplies, and every journalist in America is sucking up to these guys. And people are scared to go buy toilet paper. Oh, what if I go down to the drugstore and I catch the virus? Please. And the governor says that gun shops are non-essential businesses, but property crime is up because all of the closed businesses no longer have any people in them. And believe me, the crackheads, the crooks, and the burglars all know who's closed. And yet, your police department won't even go to the scene of property crimes anymore. Oh, you can file a report for insurance purposes, but we're not going to get your stuff back because basically we don't care. And the only law enforcement academy left open is the state police, which is what the highway patrol is now. I don't know if you guys remember, we used to have state police. And then the highway patrol assumed all their responsibility. So the highway patrol is the arm of the governor. They're still working, but no one else is. The sheriff can't trust the people he's already given concealed carry permits to. So he's just going to suspend indefinitely the reissuance of those permits, which makes you a crook for defending yourself and carrying your firearm. I mean, I just have to say, people, and you know what? We've been shouting this stuff from the rooftop for years, years. You don't have representation. You've given away your liberty. You've already lost it. And you know what? People are more upset that the NBA is suspending audiences at their games than they are at the loss of their own liberty.
Yeah,
and
you know.
And I just, I am mystified at the fact that there isn't, quite frankly, people are more worried about the camera on the red light than they are about the loss of their liberty. I just, I'll tell you, I think the worry
about the lights is more a big brother. I don't think it's a worry. I think it's a protest, is what I think.
Well,
let me tell you,
your liberty is a hell of a lot more in danger in probably 5,000 other areas than it is at a red light.
Yeah, I know.
Stop before the light turns red.
I got
a great idea.
You're right.
Don't run a red light, and then that isn't even an issue.
Right, I know. The thing is that the police now, and the situation that we have with the position of our guns being taken away, I would submit to you, and I think that we've talked about this before, and I think you were right in bringing forth this lawsuit that you've got going against the state of California, Baird versus Becerra. I think that the Second Amendment right now is the most important thing to protect, but I think that in a lot of cases...
Well, here's our problem, though, Terry. Due process has been suspended indefinitely by the federal court. The Miller case, the assault weapons ban, the hearing was suspended indefinitely by the federal court. The ammo registration ban, suspended indefinitely by the federal court. I'm sure my case is in that pile, too. I mean, my case, in fact, is over a year old, and the judge hasn't even ruled on the motion to dismiss yet.
That's right.
Don't have due process, and without due process, you can't even appeal for your liberty.
We do have David on the other line. David, what say you?
Hello, David.
Hello.
What's up?
Can't hear you.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify a comment that was made. The CHP Academy is currently closed. They shut it down.
When did that happen?
The last couple of days.
Oh, okay. Well, in the last couple of days, but what, yesterday, day before?
I'm not sure exactly what day it was.
And where do you get your information from? Are you a CHP yourself?
I was.
Okay.
And they're sending the cadets to area offices to help in the office until this is over, and then they're going to send them back.
Okay, but the other people, they just sent home. So the state's still using those people. The state is still using those cadets in work to help CHP.
In the offices.
I understand, but they haven't been sent home. That's the whole issue here. The police cadets have been sent back home. They've had their stuff suspended. I mean, all you're saying is basically they've just moved these guys into a position to where now they're going to be helping CHP. They didn't send them home. So, I mean, really and truly, is that better than them just staying in their classrooms and staying in their classes? Or is it, or now that the CHP has enlisted them, and are we paying them for that, David? Do you know?
Yes, they're still getting paid.
Okay, okay.
And so are the other students.
And so are the other students. Okay, mm-hmm. Good. Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Thanks, David.
Well, I just want to clarify that. I mean, it doesn't make much sense to me either that they should stay where they're already quarantined, basically, where nobody else goes.
Well, they're not quarantined anymore. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
They're not quarantined. They're not. That's baloney. It's BS. Okay, because now they're not quarantined. They're in helping CHP. They're being paid to help CHP. All CHP did was increase their force. They didn't send these kids home. So the real deal is it's not, well, they may have closed the academy, but that's like, with all due respect, that just doesn't hold water by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, what if one of these CHPs come in there and sneeze on them? You know? I mean, come on.
I understand, but it's not increasing their force as an enforcement on the road.
On the load. It's an enforcement on the load. It's still increasing your force. So if you hire folks to do office work for you, it's still decreasing the load for state police or for normal police, or, you know, what about the community officers? That's the same deal. I mean, you know, you can't see the thing I think we all get frustrated with is the spin on things. The spin, where's the truth really at? The truth is that they didn't do anything but enhance their workforce. That's what they did. That's what they did. They enhanced their workforce. They didn't send these kids home. The police academy, all those kids got sent home. They didn't go to their prospective future employer and say, hey, we're going to do office work. No, they got sent home. So the real deal is it's still, I don't know, in my opinion, it's Gestapo-ish. But anyway, David, thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
Yeah. When I went to police academy, we didn't get paid. We paid.
Oh, my gosh. Listen to that.
I mean, I think it's great that these kids have a little bit of help, but, you know, that wasn't always the way it was. I don't know. Anyway, I'm finished with that rant because, to me, people really don't care about their liberty. They care about their comfort. They care about their convenience. They have forgotten the sacrifices of their fathers and their grandfathers and, quite frankly, deserve whatever happens to them now, because they're not even talking about their liberty. They're too busy worrying about how many rolls of toilet paper they can get their hands on.
Amen, brother.
I think it's only one at a time, my friend.
Rations.
Unless you're a two-hander.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, you know, everything you said is spot on, and you're right. I mean, people have to, and I think that the clarification of sissies and cowards. I think one thing that you said that was so important is the self-reliance that people had in those days. That's what you were talking about, was the self-reliance and the responsibility and the accountability.
Well, I got to tell you, some of us still have it. I
mean, some of us do have it,
you know,
but not enough.
For sure.
Well, you know, that's true. I mean, that's really true. But during the Revolutionary War, you know, I'm sure they wish they had more too.
Yep.
Just saying. So, yeah. I mean, you know, all that holds water, and I think that, you know, as a lot of people say, the Greatest Generation certainly had, certainly were responsible, and they looked out for one another. And I think that was an important point you made, Mark, looking out for one another. We're going to have to go in about a minute, but I want you to feel free, please, to call in during Sovereign Minds. And same thing with anybody else. Call in during Sovereign Minds. We're going to take this program and continue on. So we'll be talking about all this stuff. And then we have Richard. I hope you're still listening, Richard. Richard will be calling in. He's got 5 points he wants to bring up. And so, Mark, it'd be great if you can call back in and stay with us to a degree, if you can do that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
All right, buddy. You can go feed the animals and come back.
There you go. They're already fed.
All right, brother. thank you so much.
Thanks, Mark.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done. Stay tuned for Sovereign Minds coming up right now.
It's not our bill. We had no say. Don't serve us, you serve LA. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.